AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome into this midweek SEC Championship Game edition of the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. I'm Chase Goodbread, the sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News, Travis Ryer, a proprietor of Ryer on YouTube. Be sure to check that out, like it, subscribe to it, super content there, and home of the Talking Tide podcast, which comes at you twice weekly throughout the fall. We preview this Alabama SEC championship game. We'll take a quick look around at a couple other conference title games on the back end of the show, maybe talk a little bit of CFP as well. But Travis, up front, it's a rematch with the Bulldogs. The Crimson Tide was able to nip Georgia by 3 in Athens in week 4. That has turned out to be the most impressive win of the season for anybody in this CFP discussion. But turning the trick twice will not be easy in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
You wouldn't think so. I mean, with this streak, though, that's what makes you wonder as much as anything about this game is, can this really continue on like it has for Alabama? Not just in the series, but in the state of Georgia. Just been absolutely brutal to the home state Bulldogs. So every time you think this thing's going to come to an end, Alabama wins the game. But there's injuries certainly to take into account. Really, for both teams in this matchup, that's probably where it starts for me. Who's going to actually be available for Georgia, Alabama, 13th game of the season? You know, both these teams, even guys that are going to play in the game Saturday, a lot of those guys are going to be feeling something.
Yeah, no doubt. This late in the season, guys are banged up left and right. I asked Bray Hubbard a little bit about that yesterday, as a matter of fact. He said he's feeling great. He sounded like he's September fresh, but that's not the case with all these guys by any stretch of the imagination. Jam Miller may or may not be able to go. We'll hear, I'm sure, more from Kalen DeBoer on that this evening when he does his radio show, and again tomorrow when they do a pregame press conference, teleconference, I believe it's going to be, along with Kirby Smart. He'll certainly be asked about the running back's status. Based on what we saw on Saturday, I'm not counting on seeing him, but you never know. We'll see what happens there. And obviously Josh Cuevas out, another big blow for Alabama. They missed him certainly against Auburn. They will miss him against Georgia, big part of the Alabama offense. Other side, though, Travis, the Bobo kid, starting center for Georgia, looks like he may not be able to go either. He was injured against Georgia Tech. I believe it was a foot injury. And Georgia Tech played a lot better defense against the run when Bobo went out. So that's a significant one on the other side.
Yeah, that's a tough in-game adjustment, especially when Bobo's really the piece that has been a consistent presence for that Georgia offensive line throughout this season. They had guys out the first time Alabama saw them. And then had gotten to a place a couple, 3 weeks ago where they were getting guys back and starting to really look like they were turning a corner. That run game was really starting to pick up. You think about the Mississippi State performance, although we saw Ahmad Hardy run for 300 against that Mississippi State defense. You talk about Cuevas. To me, it would be a lot easier for me to pick Alabama in this game if Josh Cuevas was available. I just think he's that valuable. I think the first time around we saw the impact. Maybe not always in terms of the box score, but the way you have to go about defending Alabama, it to me is a lot more difficult. We talked last week about maybe Caleb Edwards is ready to elevate into that kind of role. Didn't really look like it against Auburn. Maybe that'll be the case. Maybe Marshall Pritchett will elevate as well. But, you know, when you think about this Alabama offense and some of the struggles, it's really been with pressure, right? And when you look at this Georgia defense right now, last in the SEC in sacks is Georgia. Georgia's last in the SEC in sacks, last in the SEC in tackles for loss. I had to kind of refresh that a couple times.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. The Georgia defense we're used to seeing is a lot more disruptive than that, no question about it. And you know, they do have two phenomenal off-the-ball linebackers, right, Wilson and Allen, who can really get the job done. But as far as that edge guy, you know, they've kind of been in the same place as Alabama as far as kind of searching for that bell cow. And, you know, it's going to be music to Alabama's ears if Georgia can't get to the quarterback. We mentioned on the Sunday nighter that Alabama's best pass protection night of the year was in Athens. That's my opinion anyway. And repeating that for Alabama and for Chris Kapilovic is really big because, again, if Alabama cannot run the ball, if they revert back to the rushing struggles that we've seen for most of the season, I say revert because they did a much better job against Auburn. But if it's back to that running game struggles-wise, then it's all on Simpson. And if it's all on Simpson, you better keep him upright. You better keep that jersey clean.
Yeah, that's still problematic. I think for the Georgia defense, the Bulldogs have had, I want to say, 8 or 9 sacks in the last 4 games. So maybe the narrative more over there is that, hey, we're ascending, you know, at the right time here with our pass rush. I'm not ready to buy that because I just look at guys in your pass rush more than I even look at your numbers and think, okay, how many of these guys can really affect the quarterback? And Kirby, traditionally, not a big bring 5 or 6 on a consistent basis. So he's more of, we need to get it out of a 4-man pass rush. We need to have an organic approach. And then for Alabama, with the run game you just talked about, I think it's similar to Georgia with maybe the sacks and tackle for loss numbers being down. You're thinking, you know what? The last couple of weeks, that run game's looked a lot better. So maybe that'll continue to be the case for Alabama against Georgia. If it isn't Jam Miller, though, the question becomes Daniel Hill and who, Chase?
Right. Right. Kevin Riley, of course, didn't play against Auburn. We'll see what his injury situation is. I'm sure Kalen DeBoer will update that as well, probably tonight on that radio show. I think Riley's a good complement to Daniel Hill if he's healthy, right? He does different things. He's faster. He's quicker. He can make people miss a little bit more than Daniel Hill. He's a complementary player to Hill's style. Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, I like Riley going out there. On the other hand, wouldn't mind seeing some more of A.K. Deer either. And I know we haven't seen a ton of him this season, but he's got a bright future, Travis. He looks to me, he's got that look of a guy who can start at least in 2026, take over a much bigger role.
Yeah, and again, it kind of goes back to Georgia stylistically, how they play defense. If Georgia isn't going to dial up Allen and Wilson, maybe on as many blitzes, you might feel more comfortable, right, about A.K. Deer being out there more because the pass pro situations might not be as critical. Now, they could work where Georgia says, look, they got this guy that played much out there. If he's in the game, we're coming. You know, so
right,
a couple
right.
different ways to sort of look at that. But your point is a good one in terms of complementary styles. If O'Reilly were able to go, or certainly A.K. Deer with his explosiveness to go along with a 240-pounder in Daniel Hill.
Yeah, you mentioned the pass rush and C.J. Allen blitz, and Allen and Wilson lead the Bulldogs in sacks. Allen with 3.5 on the year, Wilson with 2.5, and these are off the ball guys. Mm-hmm. So they've obviously been cut. It's not like those guys are hand in the dirt jacks, you know, coming off the edge all the time. So
they're good when they do. That's the point. When they do bring those guys, they typically have a pretty good, efficient, successful rate.
They know how to finish, and as we know, Travis, it's quite often backs that have to pick those guys up in pass protection, and so it's not just on Proctor and Michael Carroll to keep those edges clean. It's going to be on Daniel Hill primarily to pick up guys coming through those A and B gaps.
Yeah, and the A gap wasn't particularly pretty on multiple occasions last Saturday night at Jordan-Hare Stadium, so again. And that goes back to Chase to the center position. You know, when you're sort of alternating series almost with your centers, you worry about that in terms of communication and is everybody on the right page if you're counting on more of gap protection, more so with the interior linemen, and how that ties into that back. You know, does everybody get the gap, get the guy they're supposed to get?
Right, right. What about Ryan Williams in this game, Travis? Obviously, a lot of talk about his kind of a disappearing act, at least production-wise, against Auburn. He did play a lot of snaps, almost 40 snaps against the Tigers. Did not get a catch, did not even get targeted. With Quavis being out, I think it's important to get Ryan Williams involved. And I know he's had issues with drops this season. It's been a rough year for Ryan Williams, no matter how you slice it, or injured a little bit earlier in the year. It's been a rough one for Ryan Williams, but they need the guy's athleticism. They need his explosiveness. Maybe you get him involved with a jet sweep or a reverse or so. Get the ball in his hands, and get him out in space. And also I think he's at his best, with deep vertical routes, even if it's a 50-50 ball. He's not the biggest guy in the world, I know, but he can win 50-50 balls because he's got great ball recognition. He's got great timing. To me, a lot of his struggles have been more in the short game. I like just trying to get big chunks with the kid because that seems to be his forte. From that standpoint, reminds you a little bit of the Pickens kid, right, that played for Georgia. And it kind of a monster on the deep ball, but you didn't know what you're going to get elsewhere, right?
Yeah, Pickens was a high point specialist too. I mean, he could Laquon Treadwell a little bit. Remember Treadwell from Ole Miss? They were similar. I just think, you know, Ryan's presence is huge because of what it can create for the other guys. Yeah. His explosiveness, the threat of him. But for that to be a viable threat, you have to dial him up a couple of times. So we'll see if that's more of the play early. You know, they had a lot of success against this Georgia secondary the first time around. So I think he had 5 catches. It wasn't a big yards per catch night for Ryan Williams. But mm-hmm. I think his presence created some of that stuff that we saw underneath and their ability to kind of get Georgia outflanked in the quick game. No doubt. I mean, between he and Jeremy Bernard, the stat lines can't look like they did last Saturday night against Auburn, one wouldn't think.
When Ryan Williams is playing outside, not in the slot, he's still splitting time between the two. But when he's on the outside, this is, and maybe they already have this in. I would imagine they probably do. But when he's on the outside and you recognize Ty Simpson recognizes pre-snap that he's one-on-one, and there's not going to be any safety help, I think there ought to be some kind of check or some kind of signal that, hey, run the damn deep ball and let's try to get a chunk here.
Yeah, and, you know, if they're going to play the two safeties deep or the, you know, cover 3 shell sort of approach, you know, that's where he can also hurt them with the over routes and those type of things in the middle of the field. So, you know, it really is kind of crazy how these offenses have changed, it feels like anyway. Georgia, before the injury or two that they're dealing with now up front, felt a lot better about their offensive line play and as an extension or as a part of that, the run game. And then for Alabama, it's been more of the last 4 or 5 games, what's going on with Ty Simpson? You know, from a confidence perspective, that was an ultra-confident Ty Simpson that we saw in Athens, you know, in the first month or so of the season. You wonder about that for him right now. He's saying all the right things. You know, you've been around quarterbacks, you've covered them. They're all going to say the right thing, but do they really believe it? Yeah. And then for Gunnar Stockton, Georgia, you know, it wasn't a very good performance from him against Alabama the first time around. Now, since then, what I've seen is a guy whose confidence has continued to sort of rebuild and grow. And we've got a comment in here from one of our viewers who asked Chase, who has more rushing yards, Gunnar or Ty?
I'll tell you right
Edward,
now.
Edward thinks that will be important in this game Saturday.
So this obviously is with sacks included, so the numbers are skewed a little bit. But Gunnar Stockton for the year, 103 for 403 rushing for a 3.9-yard average. And Ty Simpson, 75 for 126 rushing. Yeah. for Alabama. And again, sack yardage factored into that. So that's hard to qualify.
I think for Gunner, the check down is more his legs anyway. I think he's more likely to go if that first read isn't there, where we've seen Ty maybe do a fault at times. He'll sit in there, and that's what they want him to do. I mean, that's what Ryan Grubb wants him to do. When he bolted a little, when he ditched early against Florida State, you could tell Ryan Grubb did not like that. You know, he wanted him to stay in there. So I think maybe the approaches in general are a little bit different. But yeah, I'd go Gunnar Steichen because I think Georgia's going to run him by design more probably than Alabama's going to run Ty Simpson by design.
Yeah, interesting you mentioned Stockton's steady improvement. It seems like the trajectories on him and Simpson have kind of gone the opposite way, right? Because we've seen Simpson decline a little bit and Stockton go up. You look at Stockton's numbers now, he's completing 70% of his balls. His touchdown to interception ratio is 20-5. There's nothing wrong with that. So he's looking good, Travis, and certainly a better quarterback right now than he was in week four.
Yeah, he threw a pick against Tech last week in the middle of the field, which I thought the first time around against Alabama, Gunnar Stockton was pretty leery of work in the middle of the field. It seemed like there were a couple occasions where he had the opportunity maybe and didn't go there with it. But after that, as we talked about, he kind of picked it up in that area of the field. Now he threw a pick in the middle of the field against Georgia Tech last week. And after that, it didn't seem like either he and or Bobo were all that excited about working that area of the field. Now they worked that quick game, you know, and you see Alabama with some angle and tackle issues against Auburn last week. I can promise you Zachariah Branch, there's going to be quick game to him early to see if Alabama can tackle him, get off some blocks. You know, Red Morgan, those guys, they're going to be very important.
Yeah, Zachariah Branch, just to refresh, not a huge impact in the first matchup. He went 3 for 35 receiving for the Bulldogs. He did get a couple carries, didn't get any, didn't do much damage on those either. Chauncey Bowens, Travis, a big night against Alabama in week four. 12 for 119 on the ground. He's banged up. He didn't – I think he might have sat out the Georgia Tech game, although Kirby Smart's comments on Bowens made it sound like he'll be good to go against Alabama. Felt like he probably could have gone against Tech, I think, right?
Yeah, I'll be surprised if Bowens doesn't go. Yeah, that's basically what Kirby said after the Tech game, was that he felt like he could have gone. They've got a nice complement. We talk about complementary backfields. And by the way, if Cash is in there at running back, there's a good chance he's going to touch it. Mike Bobo loves him. You know, and I know he had the issue with the stumble and the trip up on the fourth down.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Down on the hurry up against Alabama the first time around. That hasn't slowed down Mike Bobo or Kirby Smart where that guy's concerned at all. He's still going to be a big part of this game, maybe more so as a continued situational option. And also Dylan Bell, 86. Maybe he's in the game at wide receiver. There's an end around coming. We haven't really seen that as much lately against this Alabama defense. Remember in the first three or four games, especially after Florida State hit it a couple of times, you're going to get one or two reverses or end arounds. Haven't really seen that all that much. You're going to get one. You're going to get one Saturday from Dylan Bell, I promise you. And then shortly thereafter, Bobo will take a deep shot. It's almost like every week I watch Georgia, there's that Dylan Bell sequence of end around deep ball. So I think it's coming probably again on Saturday.
Yeah, Dylan Bell too, not the body. Yeah, usually you think of a good reverse guy. You think of a Ryan Williams type. Dylan Bell weighs 210 pounds. He's a pretty big dude. He's a physical football player. And
he's their Hines Ward. And that's probably what Bobo likes about him because Bobo played with Hines Ward at Georgia. Mm-hmm. So that may be some of that. Yeah, you're right. He's more like a football player than he's kind of a hybrid, isn't he?
He can do it all. There's no doubt about it. He's a big part of that Georgia offense. What about the Alabama defense? How do you think they're playing right now, Travis, after that Auburn game? Overall, obviously, they've done well, very well, for most of the second half, if not all the second half. They did have a couple of big hiccups with the Simmons catches in the second half down on the plains. But for the most part, Kane Womack's got this group playing well.
They are better, I would say, for sure, against traditional run game than they were the first time around going into that Georgia game. I mean, that was an issue for the first half of the season, giving up explosive runs. They gave them up to Bowens. Not so much of late, you know, did a great job against Oklahoma in limiting that. Did a really good job last week in limiting that. Now, the quarterback got him a little bit, but I don't see Gunnar Stockton being that much of an issue in that part of it. But just against the traditional run game, I think they've cleaned things up a lot. And as you talked about from the outset, with the potential for Drew Bobo to be out and knowing you have Tim Keenan as who's your mama, 883 chimes in here. Good, Brett. He says, I think Keenan has a day with Bobo out. Could be. But, yeah. You know, you're going to play more than Keenan in there. You know, so London Simmons, the rest of these guys, when they're in there, are going to have to hold things down.
No doubt. And sometimes a big day for Keenan doesn't necessarily mean a ton of stops either, right? I mean, down when you're down in the trenches on top of that center, a lot of times you're not going to be the guy to make the tackle. But if you dominate and you hold your ground on double teams and drive single blocks into the backfield, you're creating gaps and places where linebackers can crash and make plays behind you, and Keenan can make some plays too. He can help the defense a lot if there's a big advantage between him and whoever plays center for Georgia without necessarily making a ton of stops himself.
He can, and you feel better about your inside linebackers more so than you do the first time around. The three guys that you're repping in there, Nakai Hill-Green, Justin Jefferson, Deontay, playing at a pretty good level. You're going to have Quay Rasol available to go along with Yonzi Pierre. So Red Morgan has emerged as more of that Husky option, as a not a big guy, but certainly a very willing guy when it comes to helping against the edge runs in that scenario. So the pieces are in place, I would say, for Alabama to do exactly what you know it wants to do in this game. And that's put it on Gunnar Stockton to win the game, throwing the football to those receivers, to those tight ends as well. So Georgia still gives you a lot to defend beyond the run game.
They give you a lot to defend. They distribute the ball. You know, Stockton likes to spread it around. It's not like he's just throwing to one guy out there. And you know, the running game for Georgia, obviously paramount for Alabama to do a good job there. And like you said, put the game on Stockton's shoulders. They've done well with the running game. Nate Frazier's averaging, I think, close to 6 yards a pop on the year. Bowens, I think, is averaging over 5 yards a pop. So they've always been able to get it done on the ground at Georgia. Even though this Georgia team isn't as dominant as some of the Georgia teams we've seen in the past, they can still turn around and hand it off and grind out those first downs without putting the ball in the air.
Yeah, they've got, again, the variety of backs. You know, McCray, Bowens with the explosiveness, Frazier kind of that mix of the two. With Frazier, it's always been about ball security, right? I mean, even against Alabama, can he take care of the ball? So that's what you wonder with him. But he does a lot of good things in his own right. I mean, they're going to go if Bowens is going to go like we think he's going to go, hey, they're going to go. They're going to go four backs deep. I mean, Nate Frazier, Chauncey Bowens, Josh McCray, and, you know, Cash Jones is going to be in there on a situational basis.
Yeah. Tough to stop for sure. Quick look at what Georgia has done since that week four loss to the Crimson Tide. Travis, haven't lost a game. They've ripped off, I guess it's been 8 in a row, knocked off Kentucky, beat Auburn 20-10, beat Ole Miss 43-35. That was a big win. Ole Miss ranked 5th at the time. nipped Florida 24-20. That should have been 31-20. Don't get me started on that. Mississippi State, they blew out by 20, beat Texas by 25, 35-10. Georgia Tech was a tighter game, 16-9. But
Texas was tight going into the fourth, but Georgia just flexed.
Ran away with Longhorn. It.
Yeah, very impressive.
Ran away with it. Alabama, on the other hand, it's been – they played some closer games, Travis, and sometimes I think that serves you because you learn kind of learn how to win them and navigate them. But it's been tighter, right? I mean, Alabama beat Missouri by 3, beat South Carolina by 7, beat Auburn by 7, of course, beat Georgia by 3. So there have been some routes here and there, but for the most part, Alabama's been playing teams fairly tight.
And Alabama in games against Georgia in the past have gone into those almost in the exact same scenario as they're going into this one. 2021, winning overtime down on the Plains. Oh my God, going to go to Atlanta and play this Georgia team that would ultimately go on and win the national championship. And the chatter coming from the state of Georgia was loud.
Right.
You know, it was a done deal. It was a gimme. And I'm not just talking about from the fan base. You had some fanboys in the media over there that were calling Alabama little Alabama and all this stuff. And then, of course, Alabama goes over there and beats Georgia in the SEC championship game. 2 years ago, after the Gravedigger at Auburn, you're not going to go over to Atlanta and beat Georgia this time, you know?
Right.
Go over to Atlanta and beat Georgia. Now, who knows if it'll play out that way. I know this. You don't hear any talk from Georgia anymore after 20, even after finally beating Alabama in Indianapolis to win the national championship, you still don't hear Georgia people talk going into games like this. So, you know, I think there's still a confidence for Alabama. Again, I think again this week, Josh Quavis being out is bigger than maybe some people are going to. I think Alabama people understand it, but maybe outside of Alabama, it's not, you know, as much of a known thing. But it's just hard to pick against Alabama, given what we've seen in this series, not just of late, but, you know, going back to 2008, really.
4-0 is Alabama against Georgia in SEC championship games. It started in 2012, that was the Aaron Murray game where the Bulldogs were driving for potentially winning points and ran out of time. Remember, like deep in the Alabama red zone,
CJ Mosley deflected the pass. I think it was Chris Conley for Georgia that caught it, but he caught it inbounds with no timeouts.
Yep.
And that was your national championship game in 2012, right?
Yeah, because then they went to, then they got Notre Dame and just waxed them.
Yeah, we were there. It was just hammered.
So, no doubt. And then there have been three subsequent to that. Jalen Milroe, one of those, obviously, a couple of years ago. A good game for Jalen Milroe over in Atlanta, for sure. Kind of sealed the deal with a big run when they were trying to take the air out of the ball in the last couple minutes. Had a couple first down runs that made a big difference to kind of play keep away from the Bulldogs when they had to late in the game. They got that one done. So 4-0, Alabama going for 5-0 against Georgia all time in this SEC title game. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. I'll be heading over there with my colleague Colin Gay on Friday, and we're going to hustle back Sunday morning early, Travis, so that we can be back in Tuscaloosa just in time to flip on the CFP selections and cover that as we will.
What did you make of last night with Alabama moving ahead of Notre Dame? Did you take that as the committee saying Alabama's in regardless of what happens this Saturday, or is it just changing with the wind, do you think?
Well, I do think they kind of set themselves up to give Alabama some breathing room, no question. And again, I find it ridiculous that Alabama was behind Notre Dame in the first place.
Yeah.
I don't know how those resumes can be compared. And you come out with Notre Dame in front of them. That's neither here nor there. Alabama's sitting at number 9 now. Now that I've seen that, I've got a little bit more confidence that Alabama goes to the playoff, win or lose, but I still, I'll believe it when I see it. I still don't trust this committee to put him in there, particularly if they happen to get hammered by Georgia, if it's an ugly score.
Yeah. We'll see. You're like me. You're not going to get Big Dan by that tree branch. You know, at the end of the advance tutorial.
I don't get it, Big Dan.
Yeah, and get that tree branch right across the nose. I think we were on the same page, especially going before last night, about if you're Alabama, you need to go to Atlanta with when to get in.
Yeah,
as your mindset. And look, that should be the mindset anyway. You're still playing for a Southeastern Conference championship. But you shouldn't allow yourself that safety net psychologically of, even if it starts to go bad, you know, we're in the playoff. I you don't want to do that either. But I did come away from last night feeling like what you just said, as long as you don't get just rolled and let's say BYU beats Texas Tech in the Big 12 championship game, you should be in pretty good shape a week from Sunday.
Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel, previewing this Alabama-Georgia SEC championship game. Want to thank our listeners and viewers. Ask you to donate, if you would, to Parker Covers Alabama, 501c3 nonprofit supporting wheelchaired Alabama residents. You can do it at parkercoversalabama.com. Thank you for any support. The Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Moving on, Travis, real quick. Unless we want to talk a little bit more about CFP rankings, wanted to run through some of these other championship games with you real quick, get a couple of your thoughts. BYU Texas Tech, that's going to be an early game on Saturday. You've got Indiana at Ohio State, 2-1 going on Fox. That'll be following Georgia Alabama. And then your night capper that is sure to not do any ratings at all. Duke and Virginia in the ACC title game playing opposite Ohio State, Indiana. How many eyeballs are going to be on that Duke-Virginia game?
That's rough. That's rough, man. They should have played that one like 9:30 in the morning Saturday, like a kickoff game. You know,
brunch. No doubt.
They would have had a lot more eyeballs on that. That's tough. ACC's got a lot on the line coming up this weekend too, man, with that championship game. You think Duke's going to get any calls in that game?
Right.
I mean, because of how the shakeout could be if Duke wins that game. Good luck on anything close, Blue Devils. I think it's going to be tough. But, yeah, I think, you know, if you're an Alabama fan, you're watching especially Texas Tech and BYU early. You know, that could probably go a long way in setting your mood maybe for the rest of the day.
What about Texas Tech? I've not had a lot of I don't get to see, you know, in full disclosure, Big 12 football doesn't grab a ton of my attention during the fall. So they've had a heck of a year, but I'm going to have to study up, Travis, pretty good if we end up seeing some kind of an Alabama-Texas Tech matchup.
I'm too. I'm right there with you, my man. Obviously a really solid team. Kind of remind me of Arizona State a little bit from last year, you know, and no one really watching them, no one really talking about them. And then you get in the playoff, and there's Arizona State playing Texas is off its feet, you know, in Atlanta. So it could play out to be that type of situation with the Red Raiders too.
What about IU Ohio State? I think the Buckeyes get the job done.
I mean the Buckeyes, obviously, that you know they had the better players,
yeah,
and not just from recruiting, but from transfer portal, everything else. But you still wonder about Ryan Day teams. Can they really run the table? You know, and that's kind of where we're at with this thing. Now, they don't have to beat IU on Saturday to qualify for the college football playoff, but, you know, that's obviously where they're at in terms of their goals. And Cignetti, man, it just seems like he thrives in this sort of scenario where there's just not much expected of IU. That's pretty much the way it's been. And, you know, they just they keep winning games.
They keep winning. Ohio State absolutely turned it on and took over last year. I mean, they in the playoff last year, Ohio State just started hammering people, made Tennessee look silly. I know that's one example, but it's a different team, right? Different quarterback. Yeah. You don't know if they're going to be able to do that again, but they sure
look complete, man. They do. Yeah. I watched them against Michigan, and they look very complete. Both sides of the ball. They can run it with the backs. Saiyan is, I said this on the channel last weekend, he's just kind of AJ McCarron in it. I mean, I know he's up for the individual honors and he's had some really nice games, mm-hmm. but in terms of what he's asked to do in that offense or for that team, you know, it looks like that 2011, 2012, maybe Alabama team right now up there in Columbus, but we'll see.
Going to be a lot of fun. Going to be a big weekend. That is going to do it for us here on the Talking Tide podcast and our preview of the SEC championship game. Be sure to join us on Sunday night when we recap this big one between the Crimson Tide and the Bulldogs. Until then, I'm Chase Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News. For Travis Ryer, so long. We will talk to you on Sunday.